Hello, hoteliers, and thank you for joining us for another episode of M3 Minutes podcast series. I'm Veronica Berman, your hostess, and today we're sitting down with Rich Wilhelm, Chief Financial Officer here at M3. So come join us on the couch. Rich, thanks so much for joining us on the couch today.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you've been at M3 now close to a year. Right. So you've seen a lot of growth. And when do you actually approach that 1 year mark?
December 11th was my first day, 2023. So I'm about 2 months short right now.
Okay. So yeah. Almost there.
Almost there.
So in this full year, you have seen a lot of change, sure I'm have. Sure. You know, with the news is out with the recent mm-hmm. acquisition from Blackstone.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about that. For sure. So that's on the horizon. So I'm sure long hours kind of getting that thing ready to go. But we're very excited to speak from a team perspective. Yeah. So, well, I do want to dive right in. So are you from the Atlanta area?
No, I grew up in York, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So a small southern Pennsylvania town just close to Maryland. So it's... I've been in Atlanta about 30 years.
Okay. So, what brought you to Georgia?
Yeah, great question. So I kind of always wanted to move south. I know the weather was much nicer than Pennsylvania weather. And, my aunt and uncle lived in Atlanta and they came up to visit one day and they said, hey, if you want to live in Atlanta, just come down and visit with us and see if you like it. And so I did. I loved it and never looked back.
Wow. So, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you fell for our Southern charm.
Sure did. Yes.
Got it. So tell me a little bit more about kind of your background sure. and what brought you into the financial world and how you came to M3.
Yeah. Great question. So my background's in mostly accounting and finance. I was an economics major in college. But in small town York, there wasn't a lot of jobs for economics majors. So luckily, I had an accounting background as well, an accounting minor in college. And so when I moved to Atlanta, found an accounting job at Aaron Rents, my first job down in Buckhead. And it's a great, great place to be. It's a lot of fun environment. And throughout my career then, I just kind of advanced through more accounting and then into finance, spent a lot of time in the payment industry, in the software industry, mostly for bigger, larger, like Fortune 500 type companies. And that was great. I had a great career, good track record there. But what I really wanted to do is kind of be a leader of maybe a smaller up and comer, type company. Mm-hmm. And so I took a role as a CFO at a company, a small payments company. And really happy there. I loved it. But then I got a call about M3. And wow, it is a 25-year-old company, great foundation, great just culture, great products and solutions that we have for our customers. And, I was hooked. I was like, wow, this is great. Came to the office here and checked out the Lawrenceville office. And my previous job was 100% remote. And I felt that M3 was where I need to be. This is it for me. So knew there were big plans. I didn't know exactly mm-hmm. what was going on with that, but I knew that even though it was a 25-year-old company, it was almost in a way a startup that you could really then dig your teeth into and really help the company grow. And here I am.
Gotcha. Yeah. It was a recruiter that got you.
Yeah. It was.
Good job recruiting. There's your plug, HR.
That's right.
So, and I totally get that. I know that we've talked about it in the office previously mm-hmm. where we both kind of came from the work from home space, especially after COVID. Yeah, we can all recognize that things changed after COVID and a lot of people went home but stayed home.
Right.
And there was something about the culture at M3 that really attracted you be in the office with the people, the beautiful environment, but also just to feel like you're a part of something a little bit more.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And in fact, I worked really close to here in my last, one of my last jobs. And the commute's the same, about 40 minutes, but it just felt so much longer going to my other job and coming here to M3. It's like, okay, I'm here and wow, it's great. And it's ready to get to work. So it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah. The people do certainly help.
Definitely.
And that's so much part of the culture. And, when you have a good culture of people, you get that through employees who are then helping our customers and providing that level of service as well. You keep those people happy.
Absolutely. For sure.
Yeah. And we can feel that. So
definitely.
I know you're watching our numbers. That's your job, CFO, yes. But either way. So So we heard a little bit about why you kind of went into the financial sector and then ultimately what brought you here at M3. And so one thing I did learn about you that was kind of neat, and we've touched on it just a little bit, I would love to explore a little bit more, but tell me a little bit about your military experience.
Yeah, sure. I spent 6 years in the Marine Corps Reserves up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I was a part of an infantry company there, late 80s, early 90s. It was relatively peaceful during that time, other than a quick stint with Operation Desert Storm, where our unit was activated there for a few months. We went to Camp Pendleton, California, and we trained, and the war ended. And so we came home. So, but it was a great experience for me, and it really shaped who I am as a person today. And our unit was, as I mentioned, an infantry unit, and it was more geared around mountaineering and cold weather, training. So we spent a lot of time in Bridgeport, California, doing some cold weather training, or up in Fort Devens, Massachusetts. And although we did have some more fun in Panama, we got to do some jungle training down there, which was really, really very interesting and an amazing place. And then in 29 Palms, California, where we did a little desert training, and also, I was well-rounded from my training there, and it was a great experience there.
Wow. So you got to see a lot of different parts of the U.S., and then it sounds like Panama. Now, for Desert Storm, did you actually go overseas?
No.
Okay.
So we spent our time in Camp Pendleton.
Okay.
Which is in California.
Yep.
We trained there, and the ground war was, I think, 100 hours, and so they said, Saddam said, "Ah, okay, I'm good," and and so no, we did not make it to overseas.
Okay. So with that, it sounds like that was really a pivotal kind of point in your life.
Yeah. It was.
Is there any memory or experience that really stuck out, that really resonated with you and kind of shaped who you became?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think really the whole experience was, changed my life, really. And, I graduated from high school, and, where I grew up, it's mostly blue collar and farmland, and some people went to college, some people, didn't, right? And so I was one of those that decided, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I got a job in a insulation factory, of all things, in downtown York, and just started thinking about what do I want to do with my life, and my grandfather was a Marine and my uncle was a Marine. Mm. And so I thought, military, perhaps is a career for me. And what I really settled on was then the Marine Corps Reserves, as I mentioned. And so I went to college, during that time in the Marines, and we didn't have a lot of money. So I used the GI Bill and was able to pay for, college, through the Marines, or some of it anyway. And, and so it's just hard to know where I'd be in my life right now if I didn't kind of make that decision to join the Marines. Mm-hmm. And so just the whole aspect of, the leadership skills that you develop there, just the discipline, the fact that, of all walks of life, people are joining, the military. Mm-hmm. And so learning to work with the diversity of America, is amazing. And just, I just was, just so appreciative of, first of all, everyone who has served, and just so, appreciative of that. But just for me, it's just definitely shaped my life and put me in an amazing direction.
Okay. Gotcha. And you're talking about these leadership skills, discipline, and being able to work with other people. And that's just so important when you're coming into a workspace.
Absolutely.
Every day.
Yeah.
And so those are great skills. So
thanks. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, again, thank you so much for your service on that. That's a lot of sacrifice there. So, but now, are you still in contact with some people that you were? Okay.
Oh, definitely. The folks in, that I served with, we are all mostly, college kids, basically. And we've stuck together, and used to see, about 5 or 6 of my friends, once a year. We used to get together in State College, Pennsylvania, where one of my friends lived. And we don't really quite do that much anymore, although I did get up to see them a couple of years ago. But yeah, we're staying in contact. Now it's so easy to stay in contact with texts and
Right.
The technology we have today, it's, you know, doesn't matter where you're at.
A WhatsApp group.
Right,
you know.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, no, and it's, you know, it's just, yeah, great. The friends I have made there and just the things that you know, go through. Like I said, I was in the reserves. I wasn't overseas and such. And so mm-hmm. amazing respect for that. But even so with our experience, it's, you know, it's just amazing. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for talking to us a little bit sure. more about that. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit more about M3 and sure. finance. And so tell me, what are the primary financial strategies that you employ to ensure the financial health and growth of M3?
Yeah, great question. You know, first and foremost, I think you have to understand the long-term goals mm-hmm. of the company and what we are expecting just as a company. What do we plan to do? And then how do you turn those goals into a financial plan that makes sense, right? And so the biggest thing is, I think, is taking that long-term goal and chunking it out. You know, you're building a budget every year, you're building forecasts maybe every quarter, things like that. So mm-hmm. that, and then, you know, so that you're on the right path and you're checking your metrics, you know, measuring what matters and making sure that, you know, are you on track with the things that you've set out that are the most important things, like, you know, mm-hmm. you know, certainly revenue growth and you know, top line and bottom line growth are important, but how do you get there? You just don't, you know, kind of wake up and say, oh, I'm going to grow X percent, right? You have to right. make that plan to get there. And I think translating that plan into something that each and every person in the company then can understand is, what is my role in that? You know, how many implementations do I have to do in the training department, you know, to make that goal, or how many new sales, or how many, what's my pipeline look like from a sales perspective of who I need to be targeting to join our wonderful family here at M3. And just everyone needs to know their part in that. Mm-hmm. And so the communication is very important as well, making sure that everybody knows what their role is, like I said. So
right. So more of a holistic point of view, not just looking straight at numbers, but right. really truly thinking about, you know, how other departments, like what their what they'll be doing and how that's going to impact the other departments and ultimately reflect that revenue.
Definitely. And, you know, as a CFO, you know, I feel like you have to really understand every aspect of the business. Like what does your team do? What does the customer service and support team do? And it's what everybody does. What is the dev team? What are they working on and things? And so that, again, you can break that down into like, why does it matter that I do these certain things? Right. Mm. And if we can show financial KPIs and metrics that say, well, what you do adds this to the business, and then I think it makes more sense. So that's what I
right.
haven't done an overly great job quite yet on that, but that's the plan. So yeah.
No, I will say you have. You've always come to our department and wanting to learn about our, you know, KPIs, our lead generation, what we're doing next to really just kind of get people excited in the industry.
Yeah, great.
So
thanks.
So previously in this conversation, you've mentioned you came from the e-pay industry, the software industry, mm-hmm. and now you're in the hospitality space. Yeah. So I'd love to learn a little bit more about how those are some of the building blocks to where you are now, and
sure.
maybe if there are some differences in the hospitality space or just kind of what you feel about our industry.
Yeah. So first, I'll just say that, you know, in finance world, there's definitely differences in industries and such, mm-hmm. but, you know, the financial building blocks are relatively the same, right? It's just a matter of what you measure from a KPI standpoint, you know, will really matter. Mm-hmm. But the hospitality industry is pretty amazing industry from a welcoming standpoint. And you just feel like people are really, you know, they care about each other just a little bit more maybe. And mm-hmm. so it's really, you can take the same like software or payments, you know, financial background and put the financial discipline that you need for any industry into play, but it's just the people seem to, you know, just to be matter a little more. I'm not sure how to say it, but yeah.
Hospitable.
Exactly. It's in the name. Yeah.
It is. Well, I agree with you. I find it to be a very welcoming industry. Mm-hmm. You've got people, again, going back to that, all different backgrounds,
right.
and you know, but you do have to think differently from front office to back office,
right.
and then your housekeeping, food and beverage. So there's a lot of different
sub
industries within the industry
for
as
sure.
well.
Yeah, so. And that's one thing that, you know, that I recognize just from a there's so many different, you know, technologies around that as well. You know, there's software, there's services for all those types of activities that you mentioned. And it's, and M3 is, you know, poised to be in all of that type of activity. So it's really fun to be at a company that can handle all of those types of things.
Exactly. And so when we're talking about the position of M3, how do you balance short-term financial goals with long-term sustainability and growth objectives?
Wow. Yeah, that's a good question, and it's a tricky question for sure. What we have to first focus on is, you know, keeping the end in mind, really, you know, and what really matters from a long-term perspective. And so I think you have to always keep that in the back of your mind is like, hey, look, our financial objective for long-term is X. And yes, you have to create and create those forecasts that go along with that. And how do you then take those short term, like say quarterly goals, and make those as best you can line up with the long term goals? And that's what you try to do. And that's perfect world situation. Obviously, things get thrown at you, and quarter by quarter, things don't really play out from a market standpoint or the economy or, you know, whatever's going on. You know, so you have to really be very disciplined from a cash flow. I'm always looking at, you know, have a strong cash flow forecast. So understanding that you can handle some pitfalls or some twists and turns here and there. And just communication, again, is just making sure that everyone understands kind of the long-term goals and how does that short-term decision really turn into the best thing for M3 in the long run. So those are the keys.
Wonderful, wonderful. So in this conversation that we've had, Rich, you've told us a lot about your past and learning about different ways to be a better leader and to kind of grow within your professional career. So with that in mind, what are some essential qualities that you believe every successful CFO should possess?
Yeah, great question. So first, financial acumen. You know, you have to know, you know, how to build the right forecast. You have to know how to deliver the right financial information. You know, that's table stakes, of course. But you also need to be a strategic thinker. You know, today in CFOs really need to understand the whole business and how that impacts, you know, the financials of the company. And because knowing the business helps you then understand how you build the right forecast and how you measure the things that matter. You need to have the analytical skills as well, right? There's a lot of data points out there. And what do you pick up and what are the things that you need to make to help you make the right decisions? You know, and finally, decision making is crucial. You have to learn your decision making skills. There's a lot of things that depend on the financials and the decisions that you make could impact the company. And sometimes people aren't going to like your decisions, you know? So you have to have thick skin as well to understand that, you know, the decisions that you make are the right things that you feel for the business.
Right, right.
But one department or another may not feel the same way, so.
I get, yeah, sometimes it's hard to hear no.
Exactly.
You know?
That's right.
So, but to that, and that's great advice for someone who is looking to kind of go into that role. And so for our younger professionals out here who may be listening or people even into, you know, in college years and they're out there and they're thinking, okay, CFO, what does that path look like for me?
Yeah.
So for our aspiring financial professionals looking to pursue a career similar to yours, what would be your advice for them?
Yeah, great question. I'd say get a foundation in, you know, finance, accounting, and really dig into that and again, learn the from the ground floor, you know, what that's all about. I would say secondly is just get involved in whatever you can from a understanding all aspects of finance. And if you can volunteer in areas and just, you know, raise your hand to do things so that people know that you're there and you're willing and you're wanting to do more and learn more. I think, you know, networking for sure and making sure you've got the right network. And you can ask the right questions that you have, you know, mentors and things that are going to help you along the way. I just think continuous learning.
Right, right.
Trying to just understand not just maybe the financial aspects of things, but, you know, why this matters and kind of putting everything together. So I think that's important is just being present, raising your hand, volunteering, and letting people know that that you're willing to do what you need to do to move.
Yes. And when you say network, probably not just sectoring yourself to financial people only, but think about it as, again, like we said, a holistic point of view.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's good to have different points of view, you know, because if you just talk to only finance people, you might just get only finance type answers, right?
Right.
And it's good to be well-rounded with the network that you have.
Yeah. So before we head out here today, Rich, I always like to find out from our guest, you know, leave us with one sage piece of advice. And it can be anything that comes to your mind, career-driven, professionally, personally, mm-hmm. whatever it speaks to your heart. So what would those words be?
Wow. Yeah. So I would say, you know, there's a lot of things that are going to come at you in life, good or bad. But I think if you focus on what you can really control, what's in your control that you can influence and stick to that and not try to worry about everything else that's going on in your life, I think you're going to, you know, come out of things that are good or bad in a positive way. So focus on what you can control.
That is great advice. Focus on what you can control.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being here today and taking the time out of a closing, you know, part of the year to sit down with us and just chat with us a little bit. So we are very excited to see the future and kind of where you'll help take us with this new possibilities.
Thank you so much. I'm excited for the future as well. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thanks, Rich. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the M3 Minutes podcast. Today, we sat down with Rich Wilhelm, Chief Financial Officer here at M3, and learned a lot about his military background and how it shaped him to be the person he is today. If you liked that episode, head on back to the lobby and hit that subscribe button. Until next time, hoteliers. This recording is copyrighted by M3 LLC. Any use or redistribution without M3's express consent is strictly prohibited.